This is a Rain rerun from February 1998.
This is the Rain Report. Telex High Gain has been a major player in the ham radio HF antenna market since the 50s. Hal Pavian, formerly W0QAN, a senior antenna engineer with High Gain today, began working for the company more than 40 years ago.
High Gain was started in the late 50s. They were a manufacturer of television antennas, and the TV stations at the time, the nearest TV station was in Omaha, and they went into business installing towers and single-channel Yagis on top of these towers so people could watch television.
Now, Omaha is how far from you?
About 65 miles. The person that owned the company at the time was Ham, Andy Andros, W0LTE. It was World Radio Labs. He knew Leo Meyerson, and they decided that there might be a market for some single-band three-element antennas. It was 20-meter beam. We made those strictly for World Radio. W3DZZ came out with a tri-bander.
He was the designer?
He had a tri-band antenna on the market. I think he was the first on the market. Then they decided that maybe the tri-band antenna was a good idea, so we designed a tri-band trap antenna.
And the model number was?
It was a TH3 series. Everything was a TH3.
Why the TH? What does that mean?
Trap. High gain, three element, I think.
What year are we talking about now for the TH3 coming out?
Probably about 1960, I guess. It was used open air traps.
What was unusual about that?
Well, they had never been used in antennas successfully until that time. There are several different versions of the traps. First was the air dielectric capacitor, an open air. It's about 1/8-inch wire, heavy-duty wire. And then we went to what we called the coffee can trap, which was the coil was wound on a form, and there was a variable capacitor plate in there that tuned each trap with. And then the next one was a solid blue trap, which was encased in plastic. And then there's a trap that we have today, which is air dielectric capacitor. The capacitor's over the outside of the coil. See, we went through several gyrations on the different traps.
How did the overall performance change?
Well, it wasn't necessarily performance that would change so much. It was manufacturing. The coffee can trap, we had trouble sealing them, keeping the moisture out. Then the plastic molded ones had a high reject rate, things like that. You know, they were very difficult to make. And then the ones we have now, you can adjust. See, the solid molded trap, you couldn't adjust. They were either good or bad.
So, 1960, you came out with the open air trap.
Yeah, 1960. 3 years later, we came out with the coffee can trap. And then 3 years later, this is just roughly. Then we went to the solid molded trap. And then all guys, I guess it was, I don't know, 63 to 65, we came out with the basic trap that we have now.
So, after the TH3, then what?
Well, then we did a TH4, a TH5.
Okay, did you design those?
Yeah, and the TH6, I did those.
Now, the TH6, I think, was probably notable in that it was such a large antenna, and I've worked far more TH6s than I have TH4s or TH5s
mm-hmm.
over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sell more of the 6s than the 4s or 5s?
Well, evidently we did. That was pretty a deluxe installation in those days to have a TH6 and say anywhere from a 50-foot to a 75-foot tower and a you know, a rotator. That was pretty deluxe.
And didn't you come out with a TH6DXX as well?
Well, yeah, that was TH6DXX. I don't remember exactly. That was some mechanical refinements.
But otherwise the same performance?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And what year was the TH6 released?
I think the TH6 was in about 65.
And I guess your main competitor then was the Mosley TA-36.
Yeah, we had competitors in Mosley, yeah.
Which is an antenna I still use today. When did you get into rotors?
That was about in that era, too, you know, in probably about 65. We used to make a thing called a roto brake that went, was a CDE rotator. You used that as a as a break, because CDE didn't have a break in theirs at the time.
Now, CDE, I believe, stands for Cornell Dubilier?
Yeah, yeah. We sold it to distributors, and the distributors had put together a package with our rotobrake and this appropriate CDE rotator.
We're reminiscing about the early days of Talax High Gain with one of its senior antenna engineers, Hal Pavian.
During the 70s, during the CB boom, High Gain went whole hog on CB antennas and CB radios, and then High Gain went bankrupt.
Okay, what year was that?
That was 78.
How come? Do you know, or can you say?
Well, yeah. They put all their money in the CB stuff. That went belly up. Telex bought High Gain assets, continued manufacturing the High Gain antennas, and then Telex bought the CDE rotator line.
They bought out Cornell Dubilier as well.
Yeah, their rotator line.
Did Telex drop any antennas that were manufactured before the bankruptcy?
Oh, that's hard to tell. We made some different many antennas, and then we discontinued some that didn't sell. There were probably quite a few we discontinued.
Okay, I'm talking about strictly amateur.
Yeah, I know, but even amateur, there were probably some that were discontinued. And we made so much stuff, I just can't really tell you.
Let's go back a little bit to your involvement. How did you become involved with High Gain?
Well, I just went to work for them. That's basically it.
Back in the 50s?
Yeah. I went to work in 1955.
Did you ever think or dream that you would design an antenna that would become so popular?
I had no idea, no. I didn't really think that much about it. I just figured, well, you know, it's a job. I was going to do it.
What was your background?
I was a ham. I had several years of technical school. And
not just anybody has the ideas or the concepts of antennas. What was your background for antennas?
Well, I just picked it up as I went. Can't say that all the ideas were mine.
You're the one that actually put them into...
I put them into practice, yeah.
What was challenging about designing the TH series of beams, the 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Well, the real challenge was finding a way to tune the traps in production so they could be tuned quickly.
One of the main criticisms of traps is they're inefficient and they tend to generate a lot of heat.
Yeah, they do. There's a little loss in the traps, but when you start stacking antennas, one on top of the other, you know, like monobanders, one on top of the other, you have to end up with a mechanical nightmare. The antennas interact, and you're probably not much better off.
Well, do they interact any more or less with traps versus no traps?
It's my opinion that when you take all things into consideration, the traps or other antenna methods now, if you can put it on one boom and keep it lighter, you're better off.
I believe it's KLM that came out with the trapless. Well, what's different about those?
Well, that thing is actually a trap, transmission line sections.
Meaning?
Well, they're like a quarter wave transmission line section, which is a trap. So instead of winding the coil up, they just stretch them out.
So you're saying it's a matter of semantics?
Basically. And as far as heating goes, they generate just as much heat, but because it's all out in the open, it's dissipated, and you don't get a temperature rise, and you don't notice it.
I've heard guys say, well, gee, it's more broadbanded, but I've often wondered if it's just the nature of the antenna as opposed
well,
to...
Well, see, some of this stuff now. See, I haven't worked in ham antennas for a long time. I've worked on the military side. We made military antennas as well.
Log periodic type antennas?
Yeah, big log periodics, say 1729 vehicular antennas we made. Over the years, we've made about a half a million of those.
How much of High Gain's business do you think was ham antennas back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s?
Well, it was just a few percent, and then when we got to the early 60s, it was probably, they discontinued making TV antennas. It was 100%, and then after then, other things came in, and then it just dropped.
I've been speaking with Hal Pavian, a senior antenna engineer with Telex High Gain Corporation, a major player in ham radio HF antennas the past four decades. Next time, we'll take a look at High Gain's last 20 years with another of its senior antenna engineers, Roger Cox, WB0DGF. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.
The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2008, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.